Hello, welcome back to our series on the three religions, Judaism, Christianity and Islam. And I'm delighted to welcome to the studio again Akhtar Zaman, who is president of the St. Albans Islamic Centre. Welcome.
Hello, Rob, and thank you for inviting me back. It's my pleasure.
Well, we're carrying on with the series, and for you primarily this means the five pillars of Islam, and we've looked at the Noble Quran as one of those pillars, and I know there is the overarching important issue, which is the declaration of belief. Mm-hmm. What are you going to talk to us about today?
Well, today, Rob, I'd like to talk to you about Ramadan. I mean, many people have heard of the term, but very few actually know the details behind what it is. So today I'd like to kind of give you an introduction to Ramadan.
Okay, now you said when it is, so just, I don't know if you're going to tell us this first or not, but it's always the same time in the year or a different time in the year?
Well, it depends on which calendar you use. If we do it according to the Gregorian calendar, then it comes 10 days early each year, whereas if we do it according to the Islamic calendar, then it is the same month.
One's impression of Ramadan is it's a period of month or 30 days of fasting. Is that all there is to it?
Well, actually, it's a little bit deeper than that. I mean, abstaining from eating and drinking in one aspect, but it's increasing your religious part of your life as well. So, you know, praying more, giving charity, thinking about people who are in a lesser or worse condition than yourself. So the poor, the hungry. So it takes you through all those emotions as well. But it's more kind of cleansing yourself. It is not something that you do if you want to. It has been mandated in the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that this is something that you do for me. I'm asking you to do it for me. And in return, I will reward you and award you many, many things that you couldn't even dream of.
Perhaps we'll come back to the rewards later, because I don't want to know whether you mean the rewards now or the rewards later, but we'll come back to that. Okay. When you say fasting, of course, it's not a starvation for 24 hours. I mean, it's between certain points of the day.
Yes, absolutely. So the fast actually lasts from sunrise, or before sunrise, I should say. Dawn to dusk is the official term, but a lot of people can't actually put a time against that. Well, dawn is typically about hour and a half to hour 45 minutes before sunrise, and dusk is, of course, at sunset.
Okay.
During the summer months, it can be a long day, somewhere around 18 and a half hours in the UK, whereas during the winter months, it could be as little as 12 hours a day.
And what do? You get up early enough to have a meal before the day begins?
So there are two meals, and they have an official name. So suhoor is the meal that you have before you start the fast. And it is recommended that even if you don't feel like eating, you get up and at least take some water or some dates or something just to say that you have done that. And then, of course, at the end of the fast, which is at sunset, then you're allowed to eat whatever you like.
Come back to that meal, but you just mentioned something that made me think about health issues.
Mm.
If somebody is unwell, mm-hmm. Are they equally obliged to fulfill this fasting?
No. So, I mean, there is quite a bit of leniency within Islam, especially if you are ill or weak or unwell in some way. Then, of course, there are ways that you can get the reward. We keep mentioning the reward, but without having to do the fast. And one way is that if you're ill during the month of Ramadan, you can make up for it, compensate for it at a later date. Or alternatively, if you're so old or weak that you're unable to do it at all, what you can do is actually pay to feed somebody else. And currently, it's a very small nominal value, actually, £4 per day, because that will buy a poor person a meal. So you can actually do that.
So you were talking there about an older person. At what age does this begin? Do children have to do it?
It becomes compulsory when you reach the age of puberty, effectively. However, many children watching other members of the family performing this want to do it themselves. Sometimes they'll start and they'll do half a day. Sometimes they'll do one day, and they'll gradually build up from there. I mean, I remember my first one that I did was at the age of about 8. And then I kind of built up. And from the age of about 11, I started to perform the full month.
So again, this is very much a family-based origin. For you as a child, you were seeing your family doing it, and so you began to do it. What happens to a Muslim, perhaps, who isn't in a family, who lives alone? Do they go to the community centre for this?
Absolutely. So it is a community occasion, and we encourage people to come to the centre, and we do provide some food at the break of the fast as well. And of course, it allows people to be with other members of the community and also to perform their obligatory prayers at the same time. So it's kind of multi-purpose in that sense.
So during this 30 days, not only is a Muslim praying five times a day, he or she is not eating or drinking anything, there's not even water passes your lips?
Correct. No food, no liquid, no smoking, no intimacy. So all of that is forbidden. So basically, from that period, dawn to dusk, all those things you abstain from. But of course, as I say, it's deeper than that. One, you shouldn't be lying. You shouldn't be talking about other people behind their back. You shouldn't be swearing. So it's abstaining from those wrong things as well. As you say, people kind of just relate Ramadan or fasting. Ramadan is the month, but people use that synonymously with fasting as well, because it is the fasting month. But it's abstaining from all the things which are wrong. So stealing, you know, lying, backbiting, anything.
Which you would hope you wouldn't do anyway.
Anyway.
But the point of the fast is that focuses your mind on the spirituality.
Absolutely.
So in a sense, that is one of its purposes.
It is. It's a very spiritual month, and it increases your spirituality. And of course, the rewards, again, I come back to that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said that because this is for me, I will reward you 70 times more than if you did the same act at any other time.
Now, what do you mean by reward? When
right. Reward? No, well, it could be. It could be. But no, it's more than that. It's basically what we do is we set up an account in our lives. We have an account which we build or deposit into over time, and that is what is going to help us in our afterlife. So when we talk about rewards, we typically refer to that. However, that doesn't mean that we will not get something in this world too. It means a bit of both, but more spiritually and building up for the afterlife. But you will also feel the benefits and the rewards in this life too.
Right. I don't know if we're going to come to the afterlife at any stage later. I'm sure we will.
I'm sure we will.
Okay, we'll leave that one there.
Yeah.
Children who begin whatever age they feel inspired to do so, but the obligation is at puberty, they then go to school during the day, and that must be quite tough for them to maintain their fast in a school environment, also in a working environment.
Yes, it can be. I'd be lying if I said that it's not got some tough aspect to it. However, it's because it's such a spiritual month, we find that once we get into it, the normal hunger or the desire to do certain things actually goes away. For that month, incredibly, you just get into this routine where you think, well, it's fine, I'll eat at a different time. I don't need to eat now. But you, as you say, sometimes for children or people who may be suffering in some way, they might find it a little bit tougher than others who are in a good condition. However, if you find that you're unable to continue it, you can break the fast. You can break the fast. It is permitted to do so.
Your motives, as it were, would be assessed in that sense.
You're exactly. So, if you're doing it for the right reasons, for instance, if I suddenly had to go into hospital and I had to take medication, that is permitted. Or if I'm in my workplace and all of a sudden I feel that I'm unable to do anything and continue unless I take a drink or eat some food, that is permitted. But I'm doing it for the right reason, not just because I feel a little bit hungry or a little bit thirsty.
And if you break it, that doesn't break the whole thing. That's just a dip, as it were.
Yes, it is for the day. It's for the day. And there are people who persevere, and even though they may be in a state where they shouldn't be doing it, they want to do it. because they feel that that reward, that little bit of suffering will get them that bit of extra reward, so they want to do that. But people do advise them that when they are in that state, then break the fast. It's not the end of the world.
Generally, if you're pursuing the practices like this, the five times a day praying and the fasting, in a work environment, that can be quite difficult for the employer.
Yes.
Are there obligations on employers under national laws now?
There are no national laws. So really, it is down to the employer if they allow you to do it or not. And again, if you're in a state where you're unable to do it because you haven't got the place, or you know it's going to interrupt your work day, you can adjust that, so you do it at a different time. Okay. So you won't lose out just because you weren't able to do it at a particular time, because it's of the circumstances which dictate you know whether you can or you can't.
Yes, there's a sense of rationality within the, or God is being rational in thinking about this. It's not completely unreasonable.
It's not unreasonable, absolutely. And of course, he helps you. Our belief is that everything that happens is according to the command of Allah or God. Therefore, if he's asked you to do something so he can reward you in return, he's not going to make you suffer unnecessarily.
Okay. Yeah. Over the weeks, we'll develop the sense of who God is, Allah is.
Yes.
And we build that up, and then we can discuss it, maybe all together with the other two of your fellow
Absolutely. You know, but in summary, because everybody has some kind of a God, I always say, if it is what we call the creator who created things, then that is the same God. Okay. That's the way I would explain it.
Okay. Yeah. Now, of course, one of the things that the Creator would have created is food. At the end of a long day of fasting, is there a sort of a celebratory feel about breaking the fast?
Absolutely, absolutely. So, you know, it's almost like a feast if you can afford it. All the family gets together. You may even invite neighbours or, you know, family from further afield to come and break the fast with you. In fact, in some Muslim countries, for instance, Saudi Arabia, they will actually go down the street with little children, and children will grab your hand and say, come and break your fast with us today. Because of that sense of camaraderie, that community feel, they want, because they feel that, you know, you've been doing this good deed all day, and that's the least they can do. And of course, they feel a part of that.
That's and you're right. Talking here about just the end of any one of those days, not the 30th day.
Any one of those. Okay. There is a feast at the end of the 30 days as well, and that is known as Eid al-Fitr, which is the celebratory day. Some people kind of say it's like Easter or like Christmas. It's that right at the end, basically you wear your best clothes, you know, you invite people, and it is a celebratory mood that you've completed your 30 days and you've been successful.
And will that always be on the Friday?
No, it can be any day.
The period is dictated by the moon, is that right?
That's correct. Yeah, so everything is done on a lunar month. So the Islamic calendar is based on a lunar month. Therefore, that can come at any time, any day. So, you know, we have fixed days in the Gregorian calendar, either 30 or 31 days. In the Islamic calendar, it's either 29 or 30 days, dependent on sighting of the moon. So the start of Ramadan is based on sighting of the moon.
And the moon is what, in its early phase?
The first, the early phase. So, you know, the rising of the first moon, as it were, in the month. And, of course, the end is also done with sighting of the moon for the new month.
Yes, and there's another festival, Eid, that...
So there's two festivals. So Eid al-Fitr is the one which is after Ramadan. Eid al-Adha, which we might cover in another session, is the one after the Hajj.
Yes.
That one is the Eid of Sacrifice, based on the sacrifice of Abraham.
But the first of those two, that becomes a signal that Ramadan is coming to the close, is that right? The first of the two Eids you mentioned.
No, well, we know that as soon as you see the new moon,
that is
the end of Ramadan, and the next day, well, you actually have 2 days for Eid al-Fitr, so you can celebrate it, but normally it is the first day immediately after Ramadan.
Okay. we hear the terms Sunni and Shia and so on. And that all of this applies to all Muslims regardless.
All Muslims, Just to bring a little bit of clarification, I mean, 85% of Muslims are Sunni Muslims in the world. And there's about 15% that are Shia Muslims. But in terms of these major events like Ramadan, like it's normally all the same. Now, you might have heard that in different countries, they may start and end on a different day. And the very reason for that is what I said earlier, it's the sighting of the moon. So primarily, it's done on sighting of the moon. And if you can't, due to cloudy weather or you're not in a position to verify it, then it can be done by talking to others who may have seen it or through scientific means.
And if you're somewhere like the Arctic or wherever else, where it's very difficult to know where you are chronologically within the day, what do you do? Take Mecca time as your sort of
So you would take either Mecca or the nearest country to you where you can actually verify, you know, what those days you'd be. Of course, you cannot fast for 6 months at a time. So, yes, I mean, you would take a time period within that to do that.
So technology is helping there as well, the communications technology.
Absolutely. I mean, to me, being a technologist by trade, I try to take advantage of that as much as possible.
Yes. There are other ways in which technology helps on something like Ramadan. I mean, I'm trying to think of, it's a way of communication, but I suppose you could use technology. I mean, the technology, presumably, you need, if you're going to pray five times a day at certain points, I mean, you need to.
Yeah, so, I mean, even in St. Albans, we have a transmitter system in our Islamic centre or the mosque where the prayer times or call for prayers are broadcast. So those people who have a receiver at home will know. And of course, during Ramadan, that's very important. So you know when it's time to start the Ramadan or the fast and when it's time to end it as well. So you're not relying on your own watch or whatever. You can say, okay, yeah, that's what the community is doing. So it must be time now.
Okay, and here we are in 2016. When is the ninth month? When is Ramadan?
It will be somewhere around 6th or 7th of June this year.
Okay, so they are going to be long days.
They are going to be the longest, so 22nd of June is the longest day in the year. Mm-hmm. So, yes, it will be. When you first think about it, you think, wow, can I really do that? But once you get into it, I don't know where the help comes from, but you do it.
And as we pass through the community, do we see Muslims heading towards the centre at a particular time? Do you sense the movement?
A lot more people will come to the centre throughout the day. But there is actually a special prayer which is dedicated to the month of Ramadan. It's called Tarawih, or the evening prayers. The word actually means to relax. But what you do is you perform 20 extra units of prayer, being led by a hafiz or hufaz in the plural. These are people who have memorized the whole Quran. And as part of that prayer, they will recite that. So normally there's 30 parts to the Quran. They will try and do one per day.
Right. And that's what you meant by a unit, is it?
There's a unit of prayer, but within that unit, you will perform or read a bit of the Quran, and it could be as small as 3 verses to as much as you like. But as I say, over those 20 units, the hufaz or the people who would lead the prayer will try and recite at least 30th part of the Quran. So then over 30 days they will have completed it. The reason for the importance of that is the initial revelation of the Quran started during the month of Ramadan. So it has an importance as part of that. And of course the rewards, as I said, are much more, much greater. Therefore, you know, a lot more people will recite the Quran, try and complete the recitation of the whole book in that month as many times as possible. So it has a special privileged position during that month.
Is it the most important month in the year for a Muslim?
It is. As a month, it is the most important. I mean, there are other events in the year. For instance, Hajj, which is one of the 5 pillars, is very important too. Mm-hmm. But that doesn't happen every year. The Hajj is a once-in-a-lifetime event if you can afford it. or many more times if you have the time and the money to do it. Okay. But well, whereas
we're going to come back to the Hajj.
Whereas the fast is compulsory every year.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll look forward to the next one where we're going to discuss Jesus in Islam.
Thank you very much, Rob. I look forward to that.